proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants. Our founding fathers considered it important for all generations to know that God is the source of true freedom. So help us to understand, as did our forefathers, that righteousness does not happen by accident. Righteousness must be pursued. We refuse to be absorbed by the uncertainty in the daily headlines. The good news is that no one is helpless in the face of the future. Our daily prayer seeking God's blessing and protection are our greatest shield from any danger or threats that we may face. John Jay, our first U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice, said, "Then rely upon the God, good providence of Almighty God is the source in their decisions as well as their support staff. Where there may be confusion, bring harmony, giving your wisdom for the proper answer and proper solution. We would ask that you would fill City Hall and these council chambers with the peace and the power of your eternal presence, and cause each home and each citizen in Pismo Beach to feel the impact. This invocation we pray in the name of our personal Savior and Lord. Amen."
Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Jones.
Please place your hand over your heart and join me as we salute the greatest country in the world.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Bill. The next item on our agenda is presentations, and we have a proclamation of the City Council honoring Gary Grossman.
Whereas Gary Grossman is a strong supporter of community efforts to improve Dinosaur Caves Park for the benefit of all Pismo Beach residents and visitors, and
whereas Gary approached the city to contribute to the park in a way that would generate future interest by others to ultimately complete all the park improvements, and
whereas Gary funded and his company, Inland Pacific, constructed the play area edge and surface, the paving outside the play ring, installation of four tree walls, installation of boulders inside the play area, and installation of the decomposed granite over the entry area into the playground and the area surrounding the playground ring, and
whereas Gary contribution has enhanced the park by creating the basis for a play and picnic area that can be readily recognized for future placement of play sculptures, picnic tables, benches, shade structures, and trees, all which will maximize the use of Dinosaur Cave Park.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council does hereby thank and honor Gary Grossman for his contribution to Dinosaur Caves Park, dated this 19th day of April 2005. Mary Ann Reese, Mayor, would you like to meet me at the podium?
I want Mike Cardona to stand, because Mike has done really, really effortlessly, I mean effort, and spent so much time and energy on the map. And Mike Allred, both of which have volunteered their time to do all this on their own, and so I just think that they both deserve a lot. And I want to thank everybody, and also Carolyn Johnson's not here, but she has been an inspiration and really got me started on this. And so I just want to thank you. I've known you now for almost 15 years. I love this community. I've been here for a long time. I really appreciate being a member of the community, and I love driving by and seeing what's going on. So I hope this inspires more people to participate, and I thank everybody. Bill, thanks a lot for everything, and Arlene, everybody, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary. Okay, the next item on our agenda is public comment. This is the time for the public to comment about anything that's not on the agenda or items that are on the consent agenda. I have no cards. Wow. Hello, stranger.
Yeah, Mr. Storm. Look at this, huh?
Oh, boy, Martin.
How are you?
How are you?
Good.
Mayor, members of council, I just wanted to make a couple of general statements. First of all,
do you want to give us your name and address?
Having
want to give us your name and address, Mark?
Oh, sure. It's Martin Storm, 76 El Viento, and that's Pismo. Light, but I also wanted to mention what a resource we do have in the Pismo Ecological Reserve. This is a resource that we really haven't done that much, but in which we have full public ownership of that property, both the properties that the city acquired using various grants and the parts that have been acquired by other public agencies, many of them single-purpose agencies. It's a beautiful piece of land. It will be great for ecological activities and preserves, provide educational opportunities and passive recreational facilities. As a general purpose agency, the city's in an unparalleled position to get the initiative going. And since the land is already public and since minimal improvements are proposed and since the agencies that would participate in the development of plans are the ones that actually contribute to these funds, and I think from past experience might be delighted to, which because in the words of the vernacular, it would give them a proactive opportunity to participate in the good deeds that they ascribe. I for one would like to see the city take a move, no more than a letter from the mayor perhaps, that states that we would like to move forward with this and take this into consideration also for Mr. Rice's benefit when you do the new planning department budget next year, because if we did something like this, it would take manpower to staff it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. I have a card from Susan Brazil.
Mayor, City Council members, staff, and public, I'm really excited about the thanks, Marion, about the issue of coastal living that I just put in your boxes this afternoon. It's a major publication, and I sent this to our city manager, Kevin, as well as the city council members. And it says, hooray for Pismo Beach. We made it in Coastal Living May issue. Our feature story, So You Want to Live in Pismo Beach, is one of the most popular monthly articles in their publication. The May issue is also one of the most popular readership months. This is an ad conversion of $43,500 plus $1,500 media commission plus charges and the graphic design work free. So we thought that it was perfect because all we saw was the coastal living as well as information on the article itself. And then the next page says Pismo Beach, and it tells all about us, and it tells about some of the people that live here. And then it goes on to a second page. So it was actually over a $90,000 piece that was an ad conversion. I think probably the nicest part about it is that the Coastal Living editorial staff truly understands what their readers want. So it's a strong endorsement when the readers devote pages to Pismo Beach. We've advertised in the past in this magazine because we thought it was a proper publication for our message. Obviously, the editorials think as highly of Pismo Beach as we do. This magazine is in the same group, Time Inc., as Sunset Magazine. We're surely grateful for the appreciation of our city. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, for bringing it to the public's attention. We're very proud of that. It's very nice.
Yeah, I was too. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to speak to items that are not on the agenda? Dr. Jones?
Just a report. My name is Paul Jones, 941 Schaefer Lane, past president of the Rotary Club here in Pismo Beach. Today we've had a report given regarding our project. As you know, we accepted a project that's in the amount of $100,000 to construct the amphitheater project. As of today, we have $95,000 of that in cash.
Wow.
Or just a small amount that's just around the corner coming in. And this week, we received a $750 contribution. And today, someone gave another $1,000 contribution. And we have signed up 5 teams of 6 each that will begin the project right away. And our goal is to have the project finished by mid-July this summer.
Wow.
So I just want to give you this report just to sort of
wonderful.
Encourage you a little.
That's
thank
wonderful.
You so
thank you so much. This is very exciting. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to items not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move along on the agenda. And is there any city council comments or requests? Rudy.
Chumash Park. I went down there Saturday for an event for one of my grandchildren. It probably was the most happiest day of my life to see that park in its condition that it is in right now. When I previously was against it, and I have gotten so many handshakes and thank yous for on behalf of the council and myself for letting that project go through. So I just wanted the public to know that. And it's a nice place to have your affairs. And you know what? You don't have to pay. It's free. The other thing I wanted to mention, just something on the consent agenda. On the item that we pulled back, item 4J, there was no mention on your minutes regarding the caveat we put in there with the before we approved it, regarding the staff and Mr. Criscione getting together and trying to resolve. Something. I think that should have been put in the notes whenever we have an addition to an item, and we have to act on it. So I just wanted to call that to your attention. That's all I have.
Okay, but are you pulling 4J?
No, this is on the last meetings.
On the minutes. Item. Okay,
on the
I
minutes.
See what you're saying. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. I'll be. Madam Mayor and Council, yes. I'll be happy to give you a very brief report of that in the city manager's comments. I did meet with Mr. Criscione.
Okay, so you'll report on that during
the just briefly
city
tell you
manager
the status.
Item. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that has any comments or requests? Okay, Shelley?
I would like to pull item 4J from tonight's agenda, please.
Okay.
And I was going to ask the city manager, I think in January, February, we had talked about some sort of a feasibility study about Pismo Beach joining forces with the other neighboring city's fire department, and I'm wondering where we are with that.
Madam Mayor and Council, I hope to bring that to you in the first meeting in May for a decision on which company we'll go with. I've been talking to several different organizations, and we'll have a recommendation for you in the first meeting in May.
May 3rd.
And who we should contract with.
Okay. Thank you.
And then on Saturday, April 23rd, from 8:30 to 1:30, there's going to be a trail maintenance at Montano de Oro State Park. It's sponsored by the California State Parks Foundation. And I think this is one of the events having to do with Earth Day. So if anyone would like to go out to Montana de Oro and help maintain the trail, they would love to have volunteers. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other comments or requests?
Yes, two of them. I had a telephone conversation today with a gal by the name of Renee Dixon. Many that know Renee, she's owned the Clam Digger for many, many years downtown at Pismo Beach. And she received a letter about weed abatement and those types of things. And she says, Bill, have you looked underneath our pier? She said, it is nothing but weeds and growth and everything else. So I told her, I said that I would bring that forward, and maybe we can take a look at that down there. Because I drove down and looked at it, and she's right. I mean, she says, that's the center of our town. And she said, it's just really, really, really bad under there. So normally I'd bring that to you on the side, but I'm sure Renee wanted to hear her name and those types of things, and I'm sure you'll get right on it. The second thing that I'd like to ask, too, is that I agree with bringing that eco-preserve issue forward. In fact, I have mentioned it before about bringing it forward, and I think that that would be a good idea, and possibly sooner than later. Martin and I don't share the same view on that, but nonetheless, I think we need to get it on the table so we can see which view would prevail. So I'd like to bring that forward. Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to pull item 4L. And also, sometime back, when we first put in the parking on Price Street, and Mr. Bloom put in those beautiful pots. It's grown over and it looks very nice, but I had the same women that approached me 2 years ago approach me again and asked, are we going to get some brightly colored flowers in there? So I hope that maybe you could look at that. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. I'm just going to add to what Rudy talked about. I spent one Sunday afternoon going into Shumash. It was a lot of people were there. Yeah. And I also got my car dirty on the parking lot, so I agree with you, it needs to be paved. So that's all I have, and we'll move on to the consent agenda. We have two items that have been pulled, 4J and 4L, and I'll entertain a motion.
I move for approval on the remaining consent agenda items.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Councilmember Ravenal?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
I'll tell you what we've done as far as capital improvements in the last quarter that we've just completed and what we're currently doing and how those projects are looking, just to give you an update, to let you know all the things we're working on. And so what I'd like to introduce, the person I'd like to introduce is Greg Ray, who you all know very well and has given these before. And with that, Greg, I'd like to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Kevin. Is this on? There you go. Good afternoon, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and Council members. I'm here this evening to provide you with another brief update on the status of projects in our five-year CIP. It's going to go real quick, so if you have any questions, just feel free to stop me at any time. See if I can make this thing work. I'm just going to run through a number of projects. The first project is the slurry seal on Shell Beach Road and James Way.
Could I interrupt you just for a second? Carolyn, would you mind closing that door? There's a glare and we can't...
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
So the first project update is the slurry seal on Shell Beach Road and James Way. As we've discussed in the past, this is probably more than a slurry seal. We're going to do some local rehabilitation. We have a 50% design on the project today, and we're currently reviewing that design at staff level. We're looking at a number of pilot projects for Shell Beach Road in particular in order to evaluate the cost effectiveness and cost and effectiveness of a number of different repair strategies. We expect to begin construction about June. Next project is the Price Street sidewalk at Dinosaur Caves Park. Good news is SLOCOG has approved funding for this project, and in fact we were recently notified by SLOCOG that we can in fact begin work, so we're going to get going on that as soon as possible. We're looking at this summer, 2005, to begin construction. The next project is the miscellaneous overlay and slurry project. We're going to do quite a sizable project this year. It's being designed in conjunction with the slurry seal on Shell Beach Road and James Way, so it's also about 50% complete in design. And again, we're expecting to begin construction in June. The Shell Beach fire station remodel. Notice a misspelling up there. new garage doors are in construction now. The remainder of the design of the remodel is underway, and BFG Architects will be preparing the plans and specifications for the city. Then the Cypress Street Bridge, Addy Street Promenade Project. It's a nice view of the bridge. We awarded a construction contract to R. Burke on April 5th, and I understand they've already begun ordering materials, and construction is expected to begin very shortly. So that's good news. That's going to be a great project for the city. Harborview Waterline Project. We're at 90% design on that project. We're reviewing the plans and specs in-house. We expect to begin construction in late June, and I'd like to remind the council that it's a waterline and street reconstruction project. We're hoping to solve some of the driveway issues out there and the drainage also, so it should be a real nice project when it's done.
Great.
Couple more. Pismo Oaks Lift Station, the design is 99% complete. We're looking at bidding documents, and we're ready to go out to bid any day now. Construction will begin this summer. It'll be a very busy summer. The Park Cypress Interceptor Sewer Project, that was completed. Everything's done on the project. Total cost was $248,000. And that was a priority one project in our wastewater master plan. Chumash Park. You've heard great things about Chumash Park. Here's a nice picture of the new play areas, two of them, for different designed specifically for different age groups out there. The project is currently in a one-year maintenance period. And so the contractor has subbed out maintenance on that. And then we'll take over at the end of that year. Total cost on that project was $307,000.
Money well spent.
I-Release Park. Design on the I-Release Park is about 80% complete. Planning and engineering are both reviewing some details on that now, and we should be pretty close in about a month, I think, to having a complete design. Highland Park. Work on the fence replacement project has begun. They are building a custom fence for some of the slope areas, and they'll begin clearing landscape here any day. We have notified the residents around the park by mail several times of the upcoming brush clearing and fence projects. So we also have in the specifications a special coordination with each. There will also be some minor improvements up Montecito Street to reduce some of the erosion that's been taking place up there. There has been some delays on that project. We're waiting until the soil dries out there because we would expect with saturated soils to have some pretty costly change orders. We want to wait till that dries out, so we think it's going to be about another 2 weeks before they start. And that was awarded to Sousa Construction. And then final project.
Payment towards the screen or towards the
wall? Got it. Final project for an update is the Sewer Trestle Bridge Repair Project. We have received a proposal from Boyle Engineering. There's three bridges that are in need of repair. They're damaged by rust, and they do need repair fairly soon. We're reviewing the proposal in-house, and we should be coming to you very soon with a request to award a contract to Boyle Engineering for design. If you have any questions, let me know. Otherwise,
I just have one quick question, if I may.
Go ahead.
You know, I was looking at that picture after we had talked about that, and, you know, with some of this new material that's out now that's really good stuff, why couldn't we just lay a thing on the ground, you know, of a something that would be like a snake-like material, and then plant shrubs over it, and you wouldn't even see it? Why isn't that kind of material available, or did we need to build that trestle and leave it obvious like that? Do you know what you know? I understand what I'm saying.
I do. We have some grade issues. We basically the entire sewer system is designed to get to the point on the other end of that bridge, and so if we try to go, it's fairly flat to begin with right now.
Uh-huh.
If we try to go a longer route, it has to be even flatter, and so we get to the point where it just wouldn't flow.
Yeah,
and you definitely want the sewer to flow.
All right, good. Thank you. Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
That's important.
I had one question, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
On the slurry seal, Shell Beach Road and James Way, it says construction is expected to begin in June for both Shell Beach and James Way?
It didn't? Yes.
For both of those?
Yes.
You're going to start construction on both of those simultaneously? Okay.
Whoops.
And then?
It seems like a...
Not on the same day. But.
Okay. And yeah. Then this. My second question is on Chumash Park. Two of the council members mentioned tonight about the dirt out in the park. Phase two, it says completed. Covering that parking lot wasn't in phase two?
At the design phase in phase two, we looked for ways to economize on the design because when we looked at all the amenities that were going in that phase and the available budget, it didn't look like we were going to have enough money to cover everything. So one of the things that was removed in the design phase was an asphalt parking lot. We went with a decomposed granite.
Okay. So it was originally in phase two, but because of finances, funding.
It was originally in the concept of phase two, but it never made it to the design plans.
Okay. All right. That's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. But that is in the CIP, is it not? The paving of the parking lot?
It's not a project in CIP, but it's in the current budget requests that are coming up in June.
Okay.
So
all right.
There's a line item in there.
Thank you very much. I really thank you for this. I think it's important for us to get that update on a quarterly basis, and I think it's good for the public to know what's been accomplished and what's going on and what to expect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The next item is item 6B.
Madam Mayor, if there was anyone in the public who might have been here to speak to that
Thank
item.
Thank you for reminding me of that. Is there anyone in the public that would like to comment on item 6A? Seeing none. Thank you for that reminder. The next item is 6B, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6B, there's an amendment, and I believe all of you have the correct amendment, and it's also in the agenda on the wall in back if anyone didn't get it. But anyway, there was a change. We were going to do a presentation on parking kiosks. The gentleman who was going to present that could not do it, but thank goodness we have another great presentation tonight, and that's on e-government. And we have a Mr. Kevin Vincent of the company Berryman and Henniger. And Kevin has traveled up here from down south in Marietta, California, to give this presentation on e-government. There's no decisions or anything that we're asking of the council on this presentation. It's just to sort of wet your whistle, let you know what's going on with e-government and how other cities are using and how we possibly could use it in our city if we decided to implement it. Kevin?
Thanks, Kevin. Okay. A lot of contract assistance to cities and counties. Things like building and safety work, engineering services, wastewater management. We provide a lot of municipal-type consulting services. We were recently acquired by a firm called Bureau Veritas, which is much larger, has about 18,000 employees across the globe. Uh-huh. And to that end, we have a lot more we can provide for our clients. The reason that I'm here talking about e-government with that kind of a background is because a lot of our clients approached us over the years and asked us to help them get a handle on this internet thing. Or on this e-government thing, and what is that, and how can we do something with that? And to that end, we started a company called GovPartner. And GovPartner is a renowned software provider of e-government solutions. And in a minute here, since I get booted back up, I'm going to show you some examples of some of the clients that we have here in California and how they have used technology to assist them in being better at providing services and speeding up the delivery of services to citizens. So, just one second. Is this on
there?
Yeah, I will in a minute. I always bring a projector in my car for backup, so I have one here. We need to use it up and grab it in a minute. Thank you. I'm the eGov guy. Okay. What I had is I had a quick few slides I wanted to go through to kind of give the group here an understanding of really what e-government's all about. So I'm going to grab that real quick.
Could I interrupt just for, I think I must be getting old. Don, could you turn off one of those banks? The lights are there or something? This, the glare off that screen is just amazing to me tonight. No, I think it's coming from that bank of lights right over it there. I don't know. Grab one and see if it does any. Yeah, that's nice.
Good.
Yay.
Great.
Gosh, Don, you're talented.
Okay. Before we get started, I wanted to give you a quick quote from Albert Einstein. I found this to be true in my life, and yet as I go out and visit with several cities and counties here in California primarily, I find that this attitude is rampant. People think that they can do more with less, and people think that if we continue to do the same thing and just do it the same way over time, things will change. And that's typically not the case. And that's typically what drives some of your peers, cities and counties here, to make a change in terms of how they reach out to the public and provide services using technology. So to that end, really, what is e-government? Well, it's all about improving delivery of services to citizens and of course, your customers through the use of technology. The whole idea, the driving principles behind that are to improve not only your internal processes, but how those processes increase your efficiency and speed up your delivery, both internally and also to your customers and citizens, and eventually improve your data accuracy and reporting. One of the key principles and the reason why most people go to an e-government platform is because they want to improve their interdepartmental communication, which not only speeds up the ability for you to execute and make decisions, but also speeds up the delivery of the entire, all the services you offer, everything from building and safety through managing work orders to send people out to fix potholes and such. Being a resident, I also like the idea of being able to go and serve my own needs through some self-service mechanisms, being able to go to the city's website to do things like obtain a permit, to be able to complain about, it seems like there's weeds that are a problem up here in Pismo. I don't know if it's because of the rain, but it seems like people want to be able to report problems with weeds under the pier or in other areas of the city. And really, how does the city manage those? Well, in most locations, and not that this is bad, but in most locations, a call comes in. Someone says, I've got a problem because there's a pothole, or I've got some weeds in the park that I want to report. And a staffer writes that information down on a post-it note and then farms it around. Who's responsible for weeds? Okay, you're responsible here. Put that right on your desk. There's your weed problem. But the problem we found is that a lot of times that problem gets lost in the shuffle. Everybody's busy. Everybody gets engaged with other things. And whether or not the weed problem gets taken care of, likely it probably will, but the citizen never knows. No one ever gets back to the citizen to let them know. The only way they find out is by showing up at the park and noticing the weeds are cut down or whatever. And that's common. So e-government is about improving that. So give you a little bit of background. I told you a little bit about who Bureau Veritas is and Berryman Henninger. That's my firm, so we'll skip past that. But GovPartner, that's an important element because some of the tools I'm going to show you here, and again, I'm going to show you some, we don't have a very too shabby of a track record. The advantages to GovPartner is all those systems are built on the latest Microsoft development platform. They're all zero clients, which means they're 100% web-based. You know, those of you who know how to use a web browser will be very confident using one of these government systems. They're not as kludgy and complicated as they once were decades ago. And some advantages to the way we do it is we don't have a proprietary architecture, which means that we can tie our systems to other systems that are in place here at the city, things like finance, or if you have an asset management tool or other tools that you use, we can tie those together so information is going to flow easier. And then also we have an enterprise license, which means we don't sell you a license pool. That may not make much sense, but that means you're going to get a good deal. It's not going to cost you as much. And in fact, Microsoft, one of our partners, kind of freaked out on us and said, well, you can't do that. You have to charge a license. And we said, well, it just doesn't work for our clients because you don't want Sue to log out so Jane can get in and make her edits to whatever she's working on. And that just never worked for us. So the idea also of it being web-based is that you will have the ability to access these systems anywhere that you have an internet connection, using a web browser, using a Palm Pilot, using a cell phone, using a laptop with a Wi-Fi card in it. We also can host these systems, which means that the majority of our clients, rather than going out and buying a server and hardware and putting the infrastructure to get this set up, they just tell us, say, look, you know what, we don't want to deal with all that overhead. Why don't you guys just provide it to us via the internet without having us to go out and buy all that infrastructure? And that's what we call a hosting environment. It's called an ASP model, which means application service provider. You just pay us a monthly fee. You can have free reign of the software. You can use it, abuse it, do whatever you want to it, and just pay us that monthly fee, and the data all is yours. So what's in our suite of products? Probably the most common product, in fact, it is the most common product, especially here in California, is what we call Request Partner. And that's a constituent report support tool. It's a mechanism for the city to capture citizen complaints, requests for service, problems in a web-based platform and be able to manage those requests, making sure that nothing falls through the cracks and making sure that all those requests get responded to and that you close the loop. The most important element that most cities forget is to give back to your client, give back to the citizen, let them know what happened. We also have a tool called Community Development Partner. That's for permitting, planning, code enforcement, all your development activities and enforcement of your development. And we also provide an online mechanism to obtain permits, which in, I don't know about up here, but in Southern California, that's just a tremendous asset for cities. Most developers don't live in the cities where they work. So they drive 2-3 hours into City Hall just to pull permits. And they save so much time and energy by pulling those permits online. And we don't charge a convenience fee to do that. Essentially, you just buy the software or host the software with us, and whatever activity takes place is all, the revenues go straight to you. We also have a tool for online parks reservation of facilities, like your parks. I know you've talked about several parks, but that could be reserving pavilions, it could be reserving campsites, whatever you have. And also a way for you to sign up for classes over the web. So residents can go to the city's website and sign up for classes rather than having to come down and wait in line at the library, wherever you sign your residents up for classes. So, to that, any questions so far? Okay.
Well, I guess one question I would have is that how many cities are right now have their permit process that you're aware of or that contract with you for this?
In California, there's about eight.
Eight?
That's just with us. Now, we have several competitors. We're much better than they are. Much better looking than they are.
Okay.
But we do have a lot of competition here in California. But there's several cities around here that do it. Probably the closest people to you that are I'll tell you, tomorrow I'm actually going to go visit with the county. San Luis Obispo County is going to deploy the citizen request management solution. And I just need to go and get their contracts and do a final presentation to their staff. I've talked to Arroyo Grande, I've talked to Grover Beach, I've talked to several of your neighbors. They're all very interested in these types of solutions. But I think it's a relatively new concept in this part of California. Down where I'm at, most cities have these types of systems in place and either are replacing them because their other vendors stink, or they just have gotten to a point where they need a better solution.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
We have the Pope.
Kevin, how much time do I have?
About 7 more minutes, then we need to start the public hearing.
Okay. Let me just give you an example of a couple of cities that I think you'd be intrigued by.
Oh, that Pope. The German.
This is the city of Diamond Bar. It's in Southern California. And this is the city of Diamond Bar's website. Now, this is their live site. As a resident, if I have a problem with anything that's going on in the city, which most residents have problems, right? FAQ, which is frequently asked questions. And this is a way for me, again, to be serving myself without having to pick up the phone, without taking valuable city staff time. I can find out what the city's policies are about weed abatement. And I can read them right here for the city of Diamond Bar. But if I simply just want to make a complaint or a request about those weeds under the pier, I select it, click continue, and then I can fill out a form. I can fill out information relative to who I am, or I can do it anonymously. That's up to you guys. You guys determine what if you want these to be anonymous or if you want residents to put in their contact information. If I put in my contact information, I'm guaranteed a call back or an email back or some type of way of letting me know that the thing was taken care of. I put in an address for the problem, and then everything from there down is all customizable by you guys, and this will help you to determine what the problem is.
Now, your software package packages. Do you have different packages, different pricing suitable for each city, for the size of the city?
Yeah, and that's another thing. Our pricing is based on population.
Okay.
So your population is about 12,000?
86.
8,700, I mean.
For you, 47.
Very well, have I? And that's different. Most of my competitors will charge you a license pool. They'll charge you a cost for each user that uses the tool. We give you an enterprise license, which means you get unfettered access to it for all your staff and constituents for a cost of that's based on your population.
How have you judged how much is used? I mean, is there less calls? Is there a way that you've measured how?
Yeah, actually, it's funny because most of our clients, when they first put a system like this online, they say, oh my gosh, we're going to get inundated with requests and complaints, and it's going to be miserable, and no one's going to be able to manage it. And that's never been the case. What happens is you will market this to your residents, and your residents will find a new avenue for making their requests. But most of them will still probably pick up the phone, or they'll still send in a letter. The advantage is that I, as a staff person, I have another login, and I can capture all those requests that come in over the phone, that come in via letter or anything, and I can get management reports as to what departments are doing a good job on the requests, what departments are falling down, where do we need to bone up. You know, there's more accountability there, too. I know this request was assigned to Kevin, and Kevin is out of town, so Kevin hasn't got to it, so I need to reassign this to someone else. They get an email, and now they're accountable for it. When a request gets submitted, the clock starts ticking, too, because you guys probably have policies regarding how long it takes you to get back on a barking dog request or the weed problem or whatever, or a pothole problem. And to that end, when the request gets submitted, the clock starts ticking, and if that request does not get followed up on, the person responsible gets an email, as does their manager, just to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks.
Back to a price per population. So if we're a community of 87, what would the cap be? I mean, what do you have?
Yeah, it's population 15,000. So from 0 to 15,000 is all the same price, and it's actually very affordable.
0 to 15. Okay.
I'll tell you what it is. It's $400 a month for the city to use this tool, plus there's an implementation fee, which is covers training and just getting the tool set up, and we bring someone on-site to do that, and that's $5,000. It's usually about a 3-4 week process.
Mm-hmm.
So the tool is going to be customized to the way City of Pismo operates, and it's a very affordable tool.
Okay, we're getting very close to our public hearing time, so we've got about 4 minutes or so.
But I would like to hear more on this, so I don't know how you want to proceed with that, Kevin. I don't know that we need another presentation of what ifs, but if staff, in my estimation, has an interest and you think it could be of a benefit, I would certainly make a request. There's two of them that I'm interested in personally. One is Parks and Rec, and then the other one is the planning one. I'm not as interested in the emails from the public.
Oh, I am.
But there's another council member that is.
I'm very
interested. I mean,
what do you guys say, public?
You know, I mean, even all three of them. The price doesn't seem to be exorbitant.
Tonight was just sort of to get it going, get the discussion going. So maybe what we can do is schedule a workshop or bring it back during the budget session, and give you more in depth data on it. And this, he's just demonstrated, obviously, one program to you. He's got a whole host of different programs, too, that do different things for city governments.
Well, I don't know how the rest of the council feels, but I would almost rather have staff look at it and see what would be better. Mm-hmm. I don't think council should be picking out your equipment. I think that we should look at policy and see if it's something that you can use and then buy it or not for you. But I'm not an expert in that and don't want to be. I'd rather you...
So would we have a consensus that maybe you want staff to look at it and see if that's something that they're interested in?
Yeah.
And come back with a recommendation?
Well, he said next budget session. That he
actually, the staff actually has looked at it already. Both myself and Dennis and Lori. We've been to briefings on this. What tonight was about is just trying to explain.
Pay the monthly fee, which is very reasonable.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, I think we may want to allow the public to comment on it, too, since it's a business item.
I will. Okay. Is there anyone in the public that would like to comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item. which is our public hearing. We have about 1 minute, and we'd like to take a quick break. How about a 2-minute break?
Great, okay. Thank you.